Now's the Time, episode 50. I'm Caleb Succo.
And I'm Christina Succo.
And this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. All right, friends, today is kind of a special podcast. It's episode number 50, so I guess you could say it's a jubilee. And I have brought in my lovely, beautiful, wonderful wife, Christina, to join us because we want to talk about why we choose to live in Ukraine. So it's going to be a little bit different podcast in that sense because I'm not going to really have like a necessarily theological or biblical topic this time. But we're just going to talk a bit about our lives in Ukraine and why we choose to live in Ukraine, because we are in Ukraine right now, right, Christina?
Yes, that's right. We're in Odessa.
And we decided to come back here. Why?
Well, because we feel that God has called us here, and even though the times are hard, we cannot abandon our brothers and sisters who still look at us and try to find some comfort and some encouragement from us. So we just cannot leave them here by themselves.
Yeah, I think that sums it up in a short sentence. But I also want to talk about, because I remember when we were just getting ready to go to Ukraine, and sometimes when people would say, oh, what? You're going to Ukraine? Well, especially like when Ukrainians heard that, they were a little bit shocked. Like, why would you go back to Ukraine? And for those of you listeners who don't know, Christina is Ukrainian. And we met, how many years ago? 18? Mm-hmm. 18 years ago back in the States. And then as we studied at Bible college, the Lord led us back to Ukraine. So that's when people would find out that, especially when Ukrainians found out that you're going back to Ukraine, they'd be a little bit shocked. And I don't know, how would you answer them at that time?
Well, in all honesty, it seems like the goal of any Ukrainian's life who wants to do well in this life is to leave Ukraine. I remember this was a goal for many years, since the early 90s. And everybody really dreamed of moving out of Ukraine, say moving to the United States or somewhere in Western Europe. And so for Ukrainians that made it to the U.S. to hear from me that I'm moving back to Ukraine with my whole family, this was just nonsense. They could not fathom it. And to me, it's a totally different sort of perspective. I'm going to Ukraine not because I think that my life is just going to be really great and I'm going to have all the comforts that I need. I'm going to have a big house and a car and everything else that I dreamed of. But because God called me to Ukraine early on and he convinced me that that's where I need to be. And I see my ministry here and I would rather live here than in the States.
Yeah, I think a lot of it really goes back to talking about, you know, what is your purpose for living? And if your purpose for living, your main purpose is to provide a comfortable lifestyle for yourself, then I would agree. Maybe Ukraine is not the best choice at this time for many people. And in that sense, certainly America is, like it's called, a land of opportunity. And so for those who want to pursue success in business, who want as the main thing in their life a larger house or a better car or something, then certainly America offers those things. But that's not our main pursuit. And I don't think that should be the main pursuit of any Christian. And I don't mean to say that is necessarily even an evil pursuit if it's in the right and proper place. But it is certainly not our main pursuit. Now, for me, as far as, you know, like why I came to Ukraine in the first place, it was kind of interesting because it was I didn't pursue coming to Ukraine. It was sort of like Ukraine pursued me. You know what I mean? And I did begin to feel a call to missions when I was about 16 years old. And I was kind of more interested in going to like some exotic place. I don't know, maybe people think Ukraine is exotic now, but I guess there's some exotic parts to it, but it was an opportunity to go to Ukraine that came to me through the ABWE, our mission, that we're with now. I wasn't with it then. And it was almost like accidental, but I know it wasn't accidental because God was at work through that. And so I went to Ukraine the first time in 94, then I went back again in 95. And even after those two trips, I didn't think I'd go back to Ukraine. And then I ended up marrying a Ukrainian and, of course, visiting Ukraine because we have in-laws there. So there's just a lot of factors that just kind of kept pulling me back to Ukraine, even though originally that wasn't something that I pursued.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I did not even think of coming back to Ukraine. When Caleb and I got married, I already started thinking of my life in the United States or my life elsewhere. I thought it was very strange for me, a Ukrainian, to be a missionary to my own home country. Coming from Ukraine, that's why it was strange to me. But over time, as we traveled back to Ukraine to visit my family and as we were involved in various ministries, I realized that that's just God talking to me through those ministries and understanding that as a missionary wife, already knowing the language, this will become such a great advantage to me. Just hearing the stories of other missionary wives struggling because they have to give their attention to the family and they cannot spend a lot of time on studying the language, I realized that it made sense. I knew the language, I knew the culture, I could fit right in, I would be able to be of help and use to the local church. And so I really heard the tugging on my heart from God and the Holy Spirit that, yes, I should go back to Ukraine. And you know what? It's okay that a Ukrainian goes back to Ukraine and becomes a missionary. That's just what it's going to be.
You know, and I think that there were just like a lot of factors that factored into that decision originally, which was probably about 10 years ago when we said, okay, yes, we do want to go back to Ukraine for sure. Which maybe just a little bit more, maybe 11 years ago. And there were a lot of different factors. There was practical factors. There was a factor that you knew the language. There was the element that we already had relationships there. We began to do some ministry there as we traveled back and forth. And then there was also an element that people like around us were saying, oh, yeah, you're going to be missionaries to Ukraine. And just kind of like confirming that, even though we hadn't decided yet. And then the final factor, too, I think, just that God led both of our hearts and gave us that desire. And so we came to Ukraine in 2007. And we've been in Ukraine except for two furloughs since 2007. And you know, honestly, you know, I've never felt like people here in Ukraine, they ask me like, oh, are you homesick? And I don't know. I've never been homesick. And I mean, I hope that my family doesn't feel too bad about me saying that. I would say that, yes, I do miss, you know, the closeness with my parents, my brothers and sisters. In that sense, you know, yes, I do miss that. Although I do have a sister here in Ukraine. But I'm not homesick in the sense that, oh, I just miss America so much, or, you know, like, I don't know. We're from the Northwest, so, you know, I miss coffee some. Oh, we have coffee here. We don't have Starbucks here, but I can live fine without Starbucks.
We have Starbucks mugs.
Yeah, we have Starbucks mugs. So I've never really been homesick in that sense. We've always felt like this is where God wants us to be, and he's always just given us a deep contentment and a great desire to serve here. But what I want to come back to, I guess, you know, two aspects, because in our last furlough, actually it was interesting. Our last furlough was last year, and we were gone, or we came back to Ukraine in August. And I remember, so all this was going on in Ukraine, the war, you know, revolution, war, all started while we were gone. And I remember that, I think it was maybe in June, maybe July, I started getting a couple of emails from different people saying, well, since you're not going back to Ukraine now, just like assuming that oh, there's a war there, so you're not going to go back, or, you know. And so I think that there's two factors here, and one we've kind of already covered. One is the idea of comfort, that, like, don't go to a country or don't choose to live in a place that is not going to give you a comfortable living style. And I don't know, Christine, what would you say, first of all, and the other factor there is safety. But let's first talk about just the comfort factor. What would you say about, like, those people, first of all, that say, don't choose a place to live that's not going to give you that comfortable lifestyle? And then what would you say to those people? And then what would you say about our lifestyle here in Ukraine? I mean, is it comfortable or is it not comfortable? Or I don't know. What do you think?
I would say that our life here is very comfortable. I mean, we have running water, we have heating, we have plenty of food. I cannot name anything that we have great need of. I mean, yes, it's hard to buy peanut butter, or it's hard to find marshmallows. Well, even though now they started making them, but I mean, those things, or cheddar cheese, those things are, like, so insignificant. And we are just fine. We'll learn to make our own peanut butter.
Really. I mean, do you feel like it's a great sacrifice to live in Ukraine for you?
No, I really don't. I feel actually very comfortable living where we are. We live very close to the major transportation. We live close to the market, close to major stores, close to banks. I mean, really, this is a big city. And
here's the funny thing. Actually, I was talking to another American missionary recently, and we were discussing about how convenient it is to live in Ukraine. And I know that, Christina, you and I have talked about this before too, that we often feel like it's more convenient to live in Ukraine than in the States.
Oh, absolutely. Just think about this. We take our car once a week out of our garage, and we use it to go and do, like, major grocery shopping. That's it. The other stuff we can just do by just walking.
Well, and even the grocery shopping we have done just by foot.
Yeah. It's not convenient if you have to buy, you know, a bunch of milk and then you have to haul it in your hands. But you not only get fresh air when you go out and do stuff by foot, you also get good exercise. You're able to meet people. You're able to multitask. You're not sitting in some sort of congested traffic. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I miss this so much when I was back in the States. Back in the States, I actually had to make a point to go out every evening so that I can get my, say, 10,000 steps in for a day.
Yeah, and here you run a couple errands and you get 20,000 steps.
Yes, and it's amazing, such a combination. And I feel, okay, fine. My apartment is not remodeled to the last standard of European remodeling. But slowly but surely we're getting there. We have running water. Just recently Caleb had to fix the leaking pipe. We flooded our neighbors two floors down while we happened to be gone for just 1 hour. Hopefully we did not cause too much damage. But
I don't know. They haven't told us how much yet, have they?
No. But
we need to talk to them. We need to take them some cookies.
But I feel like we have everything we need. We are very comfortable, if you talk about just regular comforts that this world provides.
So you feel comfortable, and I feel comfortable too. But on the other hand, we should also, I mean, to be clear, like, we don't live in a 3,000 square foot house or a 2,000 square foot house, or I don't know. Do we have 1,000 square feet?
It's a 96 square meter apartment.
Okay, so it's about 1,000 square feet. So, you know, yeah, we don't have, you know, like, a huge apartment. I mean, actually, we do have a huge apartment compared to most Ukrainian standards, I guess. But we also have 7 people that live in the apartment. So, but, you know, yeah, we have everything we need. In fact, we did a Skype interview with a church, one of our supporting churches, just recently, and somebody asked, do you have enough food? And I said, well, we're trying to lose weight, so yes, we do have, we have enough food. But yeah, I would put it like this. If we chose to live in the States, if I chose to work a secular job, it's possible that we could have a more comfortable living style, I suppose. But, you know, and God, you know, gives us contentment here. And I think, you know, friends, I think that that's one of the things when you give yourself to ministry and when your main purpose is not your own comfort, not the square footage of your house, not the type of car you drive and things like that, when those things aren't your main purpose, but your main purpose is serving God, you know, he tends to kind of give you contentment with whatever you have. And I can certainly say that's true. In fact, Christina, we just last night, remember, we were talking about if we had to leave Odessa because of, you know, bombings or whatever, violence happening here, you know, it's not that it would be hard to leave behind our possessions that we have here. I mean, there's very little in the sense of possessions that, you know, seems like it'd be hard to leave behind. The hardest thing to, well, you can explain. What do you think would be the hardest to leave behind?
I think it would be the hardest to leave behind our friends.
Yeah. And family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and then you have to understand that, I guess we're a bit of a special situation because Christina's parents live here in Odessa, not far from us. And then her brother is here. I have family also in Ukraine. But if our mission or whatever, or our government, U.S. government said, you have to leave, my sister would also leave. But obviously Christina's parents and, you know, her family would not be able to leave. So that would be definitely difficult for us. So we do feel comfortable as far as that goes. But then again, you know, I want to, if our main desire is to serve the Lord, you know, I don't think that we should make comfort, you know, way up there. And certainly if you look at the examples of the missionaries in the past, I mean, they gave up their comforts. Now, we feel, and I know that some people who follow our ministry, they say, oh, wow, look at that sacrifice. Honestly, friends, we don't really feel like it's a huge sacrifice as far as comfort goes to be here. It is a sacrifice maybe in some relationships and in that sense. And yeah, maybe we could have a bigger house or something if we lived in the States. But that's not our purpose for living. So when that's not your purpose for living, you don't really feel like that's such a big sacrifice. So the next thing is safety. Do you feel safe in Ukraine? Do you feel safe in Odessa right now? Do you feel like you could get blown up if you go out on the streets? I don't know, Christina, comment on that.
Well, I guess I don't really think about those things all the time. Otherwise, it could paralyze you if you're saying, oh no, there's a lion in the street.
Yeah, that's the proverb, right?
Kill you. Yes, and just recently we had an event in Odessa. We have a group that's called the Right Sector, and they're very much against corruption. I'd say they're against Russian government. And they busted an illegal casino downtown. They came in, they just basically stopped the operation of that casino. And that same night, their office was blown up by a bomb. So
that was 2 nights ago, actually, right?
That was, yeah. And just this morning, I read that there was another another bomb that was dead, that was actually prevented from blowing up downtown. So
actually, I read, I think since like November, we've had like 20 bombings in Odessa.
Yeah. And honestly, we are not living downtown. The area of town where we are, I guess you could call it like a suburb. It takes us about 35, 40 minutes on the bus to get to downtown. So we're kind of removed from that place. And our area of town is about 300,000 people that live here. And so I don't feel like immediate threat. I mean, nothing was blown up right in our vicinity. However, it still makes me mindful of things that I see around me, make me take note of strange, suspicious-looking packages left on doorsteps. I pay attention when I go out, especially in the evenings when I go out for my walk. I pass several banks. I look carefully at what's left on their doorstep because there have been bombings of the banks. And just generally, the awareness of the situation is there. And we subscribe to U.S. Embassy's mailing list, and they usually warn us about any kind of upcoming demonstrations or protest meetings and various actions. And whenever U.S. advises for people to leave the country, that would be also in that mailing. So we're monitoring that situation too, with the help of U.S. Embassy. I feel pretty safe. However, I am still aware, and I still, you know, check out the situation around me, and I'm careful, you know, making sure my bag is tight close to me so that nobody can, you know, take off with my bag that has my passport and my wallet and my everything in it, and just general cautious behavior. And
yeah, and I would agree with you. I feel safe here, but I am more aware. I mean, it's just like a natural thing. I mean, like when you hear like fireworks going off at night, you're like, oh, what is that? Is that a bombing? Are they shooting at someone?
Or sirens?
Or sirens, yeah.
And the thing is, we have an ambulance station about a block away from us. So the hospital, the regional hospital, is across the street from us. So we hear sirens quite often. However, not all of those sirens are ambulance sirens. Some of them sometimes go off because there is some sort of a convoy moving through the city. And yeah, those things are sometimes, they can be scary, and they just remind us to pray for Ukraine. Whenever we hear them, we pray for people that might be affected by whatever, and they're in that ambulance too.
And I think that the safety, just the personal safety thing, I mean, in one sense, we understand that, again, there are times in the life of a Christian where we're called to stand for Christ, and sometimes that might even result in us being in an unsafe situation. But I think that we're also called to use wisdom here. And so, yeah, our mission has certain standards and certain protocol where like, for instance, if Odessa does become volatile, very volatile, or if the separatists, Russian-backed separatists, begin moving in on Odessa, where we would have to leave. We would have to leave. And I think that takes a lot of wisdom. We'd ask that maybe you pray for us in that sense, to know what to do if that situation does come. Because, as Christine was mentioning before, I mean, I don't know what if you know what would go through your mind if we did come to that point and we had to leave. I mean, what would you think?
I don't know. I think I would feel like digging in my heels and not wanting to go. But I don't know. It just seems like such a chaotic situation because we have a policy where we would be put on a watch, where we would have all of our suitcases packed and say, be ready to go within an hour of receiving the email, you know, the go ahead to evacuate.
We're not on that watch right now.
We're not on it right now. Yeah. No. But it's just something that no family wants to hear. No missionary wants to hear, I'm sure. And so just pray that it doesn't happen, that I don't have to think about packing all the homeschool stuff.
Yeah.
And the many bags that will take. Thankfully, we have a good vehicle, and I'm just thankful for everybody who contributed to the purchase of that of our VN. We have a good VN, and it will seat our family, plus we have another single missionary gal that is here. All of her co-workers right now are on the home service, and so she is a part of our evacuation plan. If we have to evacuate, she is going to come with us in our van. And thank you again all for praying for us and for donating to us, and now we have hopefully what we need to evacuate if need be.
So yeah, hopefully they'll never get to that point, but definitely I think that they're, you know, there are certain times that call for that, and especially when you have a family and children, you have to be more careful in thinking about those types of things. But for right now, we choose to stay in Ukraine, and we will stay here as long as we can, as long as we have freedom, and the Ukrainian government allows us to stay here, and there's not bullets flying everywhere. And, you know, I think that also one of the reasons that we choose to be here, of course, and we talked about how God led us here and all that, but it is a time when people are a bit, everything's unstable. And it's not just the war, it's people are very insecure about almost everything right now. And I think the economy plays a big role into that, because just in the last month, we've seen the Ukrainian hryvnia just lose, like, I don't know, like half of its value or something.
Actually, just last week.
Yeah, last week.
The exchange rate just skyrocketed, and
people started to panic.
Yes, and we have noticed people just exchanging their dollars, whatever they had in their hidden stash, and just make a run for the buckwheat and sugar and sunflower oil.
It was a bit like, I don't know, maybe like the stock market crash or something, because all of a sudden, like, it was about 2 days' time, two, three days, and everybody ran to the stores. They bought sugar.
Flour,
buckwheat.
Sunflower oil.
Basically anything, like any basic food products that would last like a long time.
And that was mainly connected with the hryvnia, Ukrainian currency, losing its value. And the thing is that the stores have not quite changed their prices to match the dollar. And so people just wipe the shelves clean. And I think that the main thing in those times is just to keep a cool head, have a bit of a stash in your pantry. But honestly, there's no shortage of food. There's plenty of food. It's just people were concerned that their hryvnia is going to go to waste and they will not be able to get the best prices on sugar and flour and other staples like that. So right now, this has passed. Hryvnia came back to its previous state, and so,
well, previous state, I mean, it, not really, but
well,
it stabilized a little bit, came back down just a little bit,
but
people have kind of calmed down a little bit.
Prices, of course, did go up,
yeah.
And so, but honestly, our pantry is, you know, stocked with food, we're good, we're not in any need of any food, there's
yeah,
no
but
shortage.
Our kids eat a lot, though. I mean, it seems like our pantry's stocked, but it empties out pretty quickly with the way the kids are growing.
Oh, we have a teenager in the house, a teenage boy, and boy, he has hollow legs, that's for sure.
Okay. All right, well, I want to get on to a couple questions, because we do have a couple questions. Actually, I didn't give people much time, but I posted on Facebook to see if anyone had any questions. And I just got a couple in that I thought we could answer. So first, actually, Bill Kurluk, he asked three questions. And the first one was, do you know of any men from your city who were killed or injured in Ukraine's war? I'm not sure. I don't think I know any from Odessa.
I have seen, I'm subscribing to Odessa News on Facebook, and they did post that there was a funeral for two soldiers that were killed, and they were from the military unit that is located just what is it, east of Odessa, along the shore of the Black Sea, or kind of northeast from us. in Chernomorka, and so they had a funeral. They had a kind of a ceremony here, but then they were actually residents of other areas.
Well, we did meet this guy Denis, who one of the guys in our church has been visiting with him, ministering to him, and he was I don't know what city he was in, but he was in eastern Ukraine and was injured by a mortar that landed nearby him and blinded his one eye. And so he's been in the hospital here in Odessa for treatment of that eye. So I was able to visit with him a little bit. He's not from Odessa, but he was in Odessa in the hospital here.
He's from Lysychansk, which is one of the cities that is controlled by the Donetsk People's Republic right mm-hmm. now. And, well, maybe not. Anyway, it's one of the cities that has been bombed.
It's right there on the border.
Pretty heavily. Yeah. And the thing that you need to know is that we have a big military hospital here in Odessa. We have a very famous eye clinic that's also here downtown in Odessa. So lots of these soldiers, when they come and they need help, they need medical attention, and they come here. And like this Denis that had eye injury, he's continuing his treatment here at the eye hospital.
Yeah, and pray for him. Pray for his family if you can. I gave him, he can't really, his other eye has really bad vision because of the injury, so he can't really read. So I actually gave him a little
tablet
with audio Bible on it. So pray for him. Yeah. His name is Denis. Okay. A couple other questions here. What do you do in your spare time in Odessa? What? Spare time? Does anybody
what
have that?
Well, we like to go to the beach. And at this time of year, of course, you know.
Wait, no... go to the beach. When was the last time you went to the beach?
Well, we like to. I didn't say
that
we get
to do it
very
often. No, but he asked, what do
you
do in your spare time? Not what would you like to do if you had spare time? No, we walk.
We like to walk,
We walk. That's what we usually do, is we walk.
Yeah, it's just the fun time spent together and beneficial, too.
So usually, like, we just try and take the kids out. Or sometimes Christine and I will just go on our own just to build a walk and talk together. And that's kind of a fun thing that we do. And then I ride my unicycle. Mm-hmm. I did that 2 days ago, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how to ride a unicycle. I don't even know how to ride a bike, for that matter.
So that's probably
walking is my
that's probably the main thing we do is we walk. Okay, and then the last question from Bill is Suko a Ukrainian name? And the answer is not as far as I know, but my ancestors did live in Ukraine, but they were Germans, and so I don't know if maybe the name was a little bit different in German and they Ukrainianized it. And put the K-O on the end. I don't know, because the K-O ending is usually some sort of Ukrainian name. But as far as I know, it's not. But some people think it's Japanese. Some people think it's Ukrainian. But it's actually German. So it's kind of a little bit of a strange mix. But they were Germans that lived in Ukraine. In fact, they lived in Odessa region where we live. And they lived just about 100 miles to the west of us here. So I've been to the village where my ancestors came from a couple of times. And okay, and then another question from Lisa, and I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name, Lisa. I'll put it in the show notes. By the way, this is episode 50, so if you go to sukofamily.org/50, you can get the show notes for this episode. So Lisa asked, do you share ministry efforts with Christians from different denominations? Where, with whom? What I would say is, as far as the ministry goes, mainly, like, the main ministry that I'm involved in, of course, I'm involved in our church as a pastor, but also in our institute, and we have different groups that are students in our institute. Most of those groups tend to be Baptist or Baptistic in their belief. They wouldn't all call themselves Baptists, but we do have probably students from probably 7-8 different groups of evangelical churches. So mainly it's evangelical churches that are Baptistic in belief that we work with. So that would be in those ministries. That would be the the answer to that question. And then, let's see, Lisa asked another question. Do you help the effort to save Ukraine from Russian occupation? You want to answer that, Christina?
The way we help is our mission has a fund, which is?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that that fund is necessarily helping to save Ukraine from Russian occupation. We have a Ukraine crisis fund, and the emphasis of that fund is helping churches that are in the war zone, that have been affected by the war zone, helping refugees, and helping those who are ministering to refugees. And so in that sense, helping those innocent people who have been affected by this war. Do we help Ukraine? I would say, I mean, obviously we're not providing arms or doing anything in that sense. We are in the sense helping, in the sense that we pray for Ukraine. We pray for the unity of Ukraine. We pray for peace in Ukraine. And we help those who have, and we ask others to pray and join us to pray for Ukraine as well.
We try to help the soldiers, you know, whether it be with medicine. And I mean, we try to ship, you know, packages of food, packages and the gospel literature.
Yeah, we have ministry to some soldiers. In the hospital here through one of the guys in our church.
And even on the front lines, our oldest daughter's youth group leader was
drafted.
Was drafted, yes. And he was previously serving with the military, and he was drafted, and he does an amazing job. He evangelized his whole group there, and he asked us to pray for him and to send him the gospel, you know, in small books. And it's just, I mean, this is our small contribution, and we want to ask you to also pray for peace in Ukraine. We know that ultimately God can just, you know, put his foot down, and there will be peace, and you know, we just trust that that's what will happen one of these days.
Yeah. So I hope that answers your question. That's kind of how we are involved here as far as with Ukraine and helping, especially those innocent people that have been affected by this war. And definitely there's a lot to do. And so we appreciate your prayers for Ukraine and for our ministry. And, you know, friends, we're glad to be in Ukraine. We consider it a privilege to be in Ukraine. God has given us a heart to serve here. And you know, we believe that this is a critical time for Ukraine, not only in a political sense, but also in a spiritual sense. And these hardships have definitely opened people's eyes spiritually as well. And so it's a critical time to be here in Ukraine. And in that sense, we appreciate your prayers and your support. And I know that many people are praying. We are supported full-time through donations of churches and individuals. And so if you want to learn how you can help us and join our support team to ensure that we can continue to be here uninterrupted and serve at this critical time, just go to our website and click on the support link in the menu above, or check out the show notes for SukoFamily.org at SukoFamily.org/50. I'll put a link in there too, because we really do appreciate your support at this time. And basically what that support allows us to do is to continue ministering here uninterrupted and to be able to utilize those support resources to help the churches in Ukraine in a greater way, sometimes with physical help, with those that are in the war zone that have been affected by it, but really, and even more importantly, is with theological training and help in teaching and preaching the gospel, and you know that's really what it comes back to, because in wartime we see the physical need as being so great, and it is great, and I don't want to lessen that in any way. But that physical need is really there whether there's war or not, because you know, everyone dies. Everyone comes to the point where they meet God after this life. And so it really helps us to also better understand that spiritual need. And that's the most important reason why we're here. We're here to help people see Jesus and their need for Jesus. And so definitely your support in our work here aids us in being able to get the tools to churches that they need, to be able to give the training to pastors and church leaders that they need to be able to continue to effectively preach the gospel here in Ukraine. So we appreciate your support for in helping us do those things. Christina, any last words before we sign off here on episode 50?
Thanks for being with us. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue to do so. And God is faithful. In his time, he will put to shame the unrighteous, and he will bless his church and his people. And so just pray with us to that end.
And let me just add this at the end. You know, I think one thing that could be helpful to remember from this discussion is to remember that missions, and we've all been called to missions. If we're followers of Christ, we have a mission, which is to bring Christ to the lost world, bring the message of salvation, bring the message of the gospel to the lost world. We all have that mission. And if that mission is our priority, then our comfort in life is not our priority, because we're called to serve our master. And in serving our master, we're willing to do whatever he calls us to do and to go wherever he wants us to go. And that's what missions is about. So no, we don't feel like we sacrificed a lot. We have sacrificed some things, but you know, we get so much more in return, because we get the pleasure and the honor of serving our Savior, Jesus Christ, and telling others about him. And dear friend, that is worth it all. That is worth it all in the end. So be blessed. And make Jesus your greatest mission in this life. All right? Peace and blessings to you from Odessa, Ukraine.
До побачення.